Please and open to the book of Luke. Luke, the 14th chapter. And if you're able to stand, let me invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's wonderful, powerful, inspired word. Luke, the 14th chapter. And I'll begin reading in verse 16. I hope that in your bulletin there's an outline of the message. I hope you'll follow along with that. By the way, I'm not reading this morning from the ESV, but I will because it's in front of me here. I hadn't planned to, but I'm going to. You like that? All right. How about a whoopee? All right, good. But he said unto him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servants, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you that none of these of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet. Now let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your precious and powerful word. I pray today, Lord, that you might take your word and speak to hearts of everyone present. If there are some here today that have never trusted you, God, may this be the day that they could come and trust Jesus Christ as wonderful Lord and Master in their life. If there's others that are in need of your comfort, your strength, and need to draw near to you, God, speak to their hearts as we look to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, in a few moments, I'm going to give an invitation and invite you to come forward and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. But before I do so with great and solid biblical authority. You see, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, listen to what the Scripture says. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is thirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Not only did I do so with solid biblical authority, but also I do so because of the wonderful truths that we have here in the parable that Jesus taught as he was talking to us about the invitation to a great, great supper. You know, salvation is not a funeral. Salvation is a feast. But you know what? The devil this morning would have us to believe that if you come to Jesus and are saved, I mean, your life is over. I mean, turn out the lights because the party is over. But that's not true. You see, salvation is a banquet hall. It is not a concentration camp. Notice how he compares salvation to a great supper. You know what the good thing about that? The good thing is that you and I are both invited. Everything that our hearts desire can found there on that salvation table. There are dishes of forgiveness. There are bowls of joy. There are trays of God's wonderful peace. And there are layers of loving, a love that is there provided for us. You see, now in a little while I'm going to give an invitation. And I want to invite you to come and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But before I do, I want us to look and notice three things here about the invitation to a great supper. First of all, I want you to look how the invitation is announced. Look at it. It's a very simple invitation. Look in verse 17. Come, for all things are now ready. Notice the simplicity of this invitation as it's given. You see, God takes the initiative in salvation. He's the one who invites us to come to Him. I love the word come. In fact, it's one of the great words in all of the Bible. God first used it when He was standing in the door of the ark as he compelled Noah and his family, when He said in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, come thou and all thy house into the ark. It's used again, it's picked up by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, when Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And then the Lord Jesus used it in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 28, when He said, come to me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, see, let the children come. O, let the older people come. M, let the middle-aged people come. E, let everybody come. Come, because it's the invitation. There's a simplicity about the invitation that God has announced. Heard the story of a pastor who was speaking to a man about the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. The man's name was Lance, and Lance said to the preacher, he said, well, it just sounds so simple. And the pastor said, Lance, it is simple. And then he remembered that Lance was a grandfather and he had some children, and so he thought he would use an illustration to show him how simple it is. He said, Lance, if your grandchildren were here and you had a delicacy in the kitchen that you were wanting to give to them, what would you do? Would you make it complicated for them to get to it? Would you make it hard for them to get to it? He said, no, I would just usher them right on into the kitchen and let them have what I had there. He said, that's exactly what God does. He just makes it so very easy. You see, God wants you to be saved, and so God makes it. There's a simplicity about it. And with tears coming into his eyes, Lance said, oh, it just sounds too good to be true. Dear friend, I want to tell you, the salvation that God offers us, it is so good. It's too good to be true. There is a simplicity about this invitation to being saved. But notice, secondly, not only is there a simplicity about it, there is an availability about it. Look at the verse again. Come, for all things are now ready. Are now, all the provision has been made for you to come to Jesus. Everything that has to be done has been made for you to come and trust Him. We don't rest in what we can do, but we rest in the wonderful work that was done at Calvary by our Lord Jesus. You see, you take every tear that Jesus says to us, all things are now ready. You take every groan that uttered from His lips, it says to us, all things are now ready. You take every pain that wrecked the body of the Lord Jesus, it says to us, all things are now ready. You take every drop of blood that came from the body of Jesus, and it says to us, all things are now ready. When Christ cried out, it is finished, He was saying that the price of salvation has been paid. The provision has been made. Now, in a little while, I'm going to give an invitation. And I'm going to invite you to come. Because, you see, everything necessary for salvation has already been provided in Jesus, if you'll simply come to Him. You see, there's a simplicity about this invitation. Come. There's an availability. Come now. And then thirdly, there is a punctuality about it. You see that little word now? come, for all things are now ready. What that says is that God has done His part to provide salvation. And now He's ready for you to do your part. Everything is that was necessary has already been prepared. I like the verse in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. You see, ours was the sin. His was the blood. Come. There's a simplicity about it. Come. Everything is now ready. There is an availability about it. Come now. There is a punctuality about it. But notice not only this invitation, how it was announced, but I want you to see the secondly, the invitation, it is avoided. Look in verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. They all with one consent began to make excuses. I want us to examine these excuses because they apparently are acceptable. Apparently they're acceptable. The servant goes up, he knocks on the door of one house. Fella comes to the door dressed in a three-piece suit. He has dollar signs, marks for his eyes. He has deposit boxes for his hands. And the invitation is given. He said, oh, I can't come. I'm sorry, I bought some property and I can't come. Please have me excused. And so the servant goes to a second door. He knocks on the door. Cowboy comes. A Texan, he has a cowboy hat on. He has cowboy boots on. He has a lasso. The invitation is extended to him. He said, oh, well, I can't come. I bought some oxen. I got to go try out, see if they're any good. And so the servant goes to a third door. He knocks on the door. And a fellow comes dressed in a tuxedo and he has a flower tucked in his lapel. He has just come from a wedding. He just got married. He said, I can't come. Please have me excused. In a moment, I'm going to give an invitation to invite you to come to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior and Lord. Would you do that when I give the invitation? You see, probably on your very lips this morning, there's an excuse. Well, there are too many hypocrites in the church, preacher. There's too much that you have to give up, preacher. I want to come when I think that I can live it, preacher. I don't have the right feeling now, preacher. You see, these excuses, they appear to be acceptable. But I want you to notice in the second place, they were actually unreasonable. They're unreasonable. Look at the excuses that were made. Here the real estate man comes and he says, I bought some property. What do you mean? This guy has bought property that he hasn't even seen? Man, I've got some swampland in Florida. I'd like to sell him dirt cheap. And then the guy who comes, I've got some oxen that I'm going to have to go check out. Got to prove them. It's nighttime. How's he going to check them out? Do they have headlights on their horns? And then the guy who's gotten married. Now, what new bride would not like to get all dressed up and go to a fine banquet? I mean, did you notice he says, and they all with one consent began to make excuses. You see, excuses are what we use for not doing what we know that we should do. In fact, excuses are what we use for doing because we don't want to do it. Listen to the excuses someone sitting there today in our service might be wanting to make. Well, I'm not going to join that church because there are absolutely too many hypocrites in the church. I'm not going to come to Jesus because there's too much to give up. Friend, the only thing there is to give up is sin. I'm not going to come to Jesus until I think that I can live it. My dear friend, we don't come to Jesus once we get good enough to come to Jesus. We come to Jesus because we want our life changed and made new again. That's when we come to Jesus. You see, these excuses are actually unreasonable. But notice in a third place, these excuses are absolutely inexcusable. Think about it. Here is a man that has prepared a lavish feast. Everything is ready. All they have to do is to come to the feast that he's provided. And they decline. Today we give the invitation to people to come to Jesus and they run. It's inexcusable. The Bible says they are without excuse. When Elizabeth was to be crowned Queen Elizabeth II, by the way, she just had her 90th birthday, the royal family sent out engraved invitations. And at the bottom of that engraved invitation were three words. And these were the words, all excuses ceasing. You see, my friend, when royalty sends out an invitation, we pay attention. I want to tell you, I'm here to announce that the great God of the universe has extended an invitation, a personal invitation to you to come to Jesus and find salvation and find life and receive Him as your personal Lord and Savior. All excuses ceasing. But notice in the third place, this invitation, it was amplified. It was amplified. Look in verse 21. Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring them in, the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. You see, when people come to a banquet or when people give a banquet today, you know who we invite? We invite our friends. We invite people of prominence. We invite people of wealth. But that's not what God does. You see, when God spreads a banquet, He invites people that are hurting people. Notice how lovingly He amplifies the invitation as He says to them, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. You see, is there someone here today? You feel unworthy. God has amplified the invitation to include you. Is there someone here today that feels that you've been maimed, that sin has maimed your life? God has amplified the invitation to receive you. Is there someone here today that would say, I've been crippled by sin. Sin has left a limp in my life. Oh, I want to tell you, God has amplified His invitation that includes you. He said, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. You know, it's amazing. If we had spiritual eyes today, we could see those that are here at First Baptist Church that are gathered around God's banquet table. You know what we would see if we had those spiritual eyes? We'd see a drunk that is made whole by Jesus. We'd see a harlot that is made pure by the Lord Jesus. We'd see a stingy man that has been made generous by the Lord Jesus Christ, because He lovingly expands His invitation to include them all. But notice, not only lovingly he expanded, He amplified the invitation to include everyone, but He generously, He expands and amplifies the invitation. Look in verse 23. Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that My house may be full. Isn't that just like our God? Isn't that like our God? He wants a house to be full. Isn't it like our God that His heart is so big that He includes the whole world? Let me give you a passage of Scripture. Sometimes people talk about limited atonement. Only a few can get saved. Limited atonement. That's not what the Bible teaches. Write this verse down. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And He is the propitiation for our sins. You say, what does that word propitiation mean? It means that he is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. For he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not for ours only. The scripture says, but also for the sins of all the world. Isn't that amazing? God's heart is so big, it includes them all. He says, he is the propitiation for our sin, but not for our sin only, but also for the sins of the whole world. God amplifies his invitation so lovingly, so generously, to include us all. But notice how urgently he amplifies this invitation. Look at verse 23 again. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That Greek word is a strong, strong word. And in that word, there's a sense of urgency. And I want to tell you, dear Christians, there needs to be a sense of urgency on our part about sharing and living the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that sense of urgency ought to grip the heart of everyone who names the name of Jesus. On the morning of 9/11, when we awoke to the horror of watching those planes plow into the Twin Towers, it was a horrific sight. We watched as grown men, strong, rational men, came to the windows and jumped out. Why? They were getting out of the fire. We watched as intelligent women came to the windows and they jumped out. Why? Because they were getting out of the fire. What does it mean in Jude, verse 23, when the Bible says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire? Let me tell you, dear friend, there's an urgency about the Scripture. There's an urgency about God's Word. There's an urgency about getting the message of Jesus out to those that need Christ. I can't preach casually when I remember the wonderful words of our blessed Lord Jesus when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's an urgency about the gospel. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come forward and to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Would you do that this morning? I pray that you would. Would you stand with me, please, in prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed. God extends his invitation to you today. Invites you to come to Jesus. Would you come and trust him as your Savior, as your Lord? Would you do that? We're going to sing an invitation hymn. Brother David, if you'll come and we get ready for invitation. And I want to invite you to come this morning and trust Jesus as your Savior. Father, we're so thankful for your wonderful word. And God, thank you that you've given us an invitation. You don't just leave us there by ourselves, but you provided salvation through Jesus Christ. And Lord, you've invited us to the great banquet and the great supper of salvation. And my prayer today is that there is someone here that has never received the salvation that you have offered them so freely through Jesus, that they'd come receiving Christ today. Because we pray in his name. Amen.